morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and it's good to be able to come out and worship God. We appreciate your presence, and if you're visiting with us this morning, we're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you can come back as you have an opportunity. The good brethren here at Memorial Boulevard are trying to be Christians and live right in this world, and we're glad that you're here with us this morning, and we appreciate the opportunity to come together to worship God. And in the scripture reading that we had this morning in Revelation chapter 21, the first four verses there, we're reading about heaven. And I think it's important for us to remember heaven from time to time. We get bogged down in the things of life. We have our daily routines, and we have our work and our family, and we get going in those things from day to day. And we need a reminder to look up. We need a reminder to keep our eyes on the goal. And it's important to think about heaven. We might have struggles and trials that we're going through. We might have issues at work or issues with our family, or we might have stresses and troubles and tribulations. We need to remember heaven. We need to keep our eyes on the goal. There may be those who are actually living in sin. Maybe they're engaged in sin and they're having a good time in their life. They need to get their eyes back on the goal. Maybe some brethren are discouraged. Maybe some brethren are downtrodden. You've got to keep your eyes on heaven. It's good to talk about heaven from time to time. The devil wants us to get us so consumed with the things of this life that we get our eyes off the goal. And it's like running a race. When we get our eyes off the goal, we may or may not finish. So we've got to keep our eyes on heaven. We've got to keep focused on that. And I think about brethren and the things that are going on in their lives. And I can tell you for a fact that there are many things going on in the lives of brethren that we don't even know about. And things that are very difficult, things that are very troubling and very trying to them. And they're going through hard times. And you think about brethren in other places that we don't even know about. Brethren around the world. And they have difficult things that they go through. The way that we get through that is to stay focused on heaven. And so this morning, I want to talk about heaven and why I want to go there. And I think it's the same reason why you want to go there. I think everybody here this morning wants to go to heaven. I think everybody here this morning, when given the option of where to go, they would choose heaven. And so I want us to remember the importance of that and why we want to go there. And in doing that, we will get through those troubles and trials. And in doing that, we will get through the daily affairs that are difficult from time to time. And you may need to respond to the gospel this morning. You may need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins scripturally. And the incentive to do that this morning would be that you want to go to heaven. Talking about heaven gives us incentive to go there. And that may be your incentive this morning to step forward and obey. That may be your incentive this morning to get through that trouble or trial that you're going through. That may be the very incentive to get you through that difficult thing. So let's talk about heaven. And really, when we talk about heaven and why we want to go there, it is not a whole list of reasons. The interesting thing about that is it's not a large list. It is just simply three. Who will be there? What will be there? And why we will be there. When we talk about who will be there, we want to go. When we talk about what will be there, we're going to want to go. And when we talk about why we're there and what we're doing there, we'll certainly want to go. So it's certainly good to talk about the importance of heaven. You know, in the Scripture, various individuals, Jesus and others, Paul and others, talked about heaven. And we need to talk about heaven. Look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. It's good to talk about heaven in times of trouble. That was on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And when you look at John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart," what? "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions." That was a troubling night for them. And so what did he talk about? He could have talked about a number of things. He talked about heaven. And so when our heart is troubled and when we're going through difficult times, we need to focus on the fact that there is a heaven and that we can go there if we'll live faithfully. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul talks about that there are those who serve their belly. There are those who are selfish and serve their belly. And then in the next verse he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." We need to talk about heaven in times of worldliness, when we get our mind and our lives set on the things of this life. We're just doing what the world wants us to do. And we're going through that, and it may be causing us problems. It may be causing us bodily harms or other difficulties in life because we're engaged in the things of this world, the sinful things. Well, what's the solution to that? Get your eyes on heaven. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we're not to set our minds on the earth, but on the things that are above. Sometimes people just get involved in the worldliness of this life, and the solution is you've got to get your eyes up on heaven and get your eyes off the world. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul reminds the brethren in times of death and in times of loss of a loved one, you need to get your eyes on heaven because one day Jesus is coming again. And we're all going to be caught up in the air if we're living faithfully. Now, those who aren't living faithfully are not going to be caught up into heaven, but those who are. And sometimes when we talk about the death of a loved one or loss of a member of the church, Paul's solution in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 was to talk about heaven, that we will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, look at the very next verse, comfort one another. Sometimes in the loss of loved ones, we need to talk about heaven and remind ourselves that we can be with them in heaven one day, and it's a comfort. Sometimes when we face our own death, when we near the end of our life and we're all growing older and it is appointed unto man once to die, and if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, as Paul approached the end of his life, we find that heaven was on his mind, and it should be on our mind as we approach the end of our life. He says, I am already being offered, and the time of my departure has come, speaking of the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. He had heaven on his mind. That's where he would get that crown of righteousness, in heaven. It's laid up in heaven. It's good to talk about heaven in times of death. It's good to talk about heaven when we think about the end of our life. And are we going to go there? And if the answer is no, then we need to make those changes. You see, the devil gets us on the things of this life, on the earth. No, we need to get our minds up on heaven. We need to talk about heaven. We need to focus on that goal and why we want to go there. So many people just get their eyes off that goal. And they get their eyes on the things of this life, and they find that they're not right with God. It's good to talk about heaven in times of persecution. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We read this passage earlier around the Lord's table. And if you come on down, reading past the sacrifice of Jesus, if you look at verse 13, let us therefore, he's speaking to brethren, let us therefore go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Look at this. Jesus, Golgotha, the cross, where Jesus was and the two thieves, that was outside of Jerusalem. The Romans and the Jews did not want to do anything like that in the city limits. They took it out of town. Golgotha was outside of Jerusalem. So that's where Jesus went. And when he went to the cross, that was a symbol of reproach and reviling and persecution. And so look at verse 13. We're supposed to go there. We're supposed to go out there and identify with him. He's not saying go outside of the Springfield city limits. He's saying go out to the place where you're going to live and be persecuted as a Christian. And bear his reproach. In other words, being a follower of Jesus, we're going to be persecuted like Jesus was. But what's the incentive? Look at verse 14. What's the incentive to get through those difficult times of persecution? Verse 14, for we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city which is to come. What gets us through that persecution is heaven. And so it's good to talk about that from time to time. And we need to remember that in our daily lives. We need to talk about heaven with ourselves and with our children and with those around us so that we can go there. We will not go there unless we talk about it and live right and focus on it. Just like hitting a target, you're not going to hit that target unless you're aiming for it. And you're not aiming for it unless you're living for it and talking about it and working toward it. And so it's great to remind ourselves of that important theme from time to time. Well, let's talk a little bit this morning about heaven and why I want to go there and why you want to go there. First of all, who will be there? Who will be there? God will be there. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2. When you think about who will be there, you'll want to go there. In Revelation chapter 4, the picture there in heaven is about God on His throne. And the central feature of heaven is God. God is the center of heaven. We're talking about the Almighty Creator of the universe. We're talking about our Creator. We're talking about our Provider. We're talking about our Sustainer. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about the Almighty God of the universe is at the center of heaven, and you can be around His throne worshiping Him. We could stop right there, and that would be enough incentive to go to heaven. We wouldn't even have to finish the lesson. That would be incentive enough right there. But there's even more. Not only will God be there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2, following there the throne, and all of these creatures, look at verse 8, He that is on the throne and all of the creatures are saying to Him, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. He's on His throne and they're praising. Look at verse 11, Worthy art Thou, the Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor, for You did create all things, and because of Thy will they were created. We're going to be around the Creator of the universe. Jesus will also be there. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Our Savior, He who died on the cross, who we are supposed to be remembering every first day of the week with the Lord's Supper. And if we're not doing that, we need to be here doing that. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us. But in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, notice that the Lamb is standing beside the throne. He's there. And what are we going to be doing there when He is there beside the throne? Come on down to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Worthy art Thou to take the book and to open the seals, for You were slain, and You did purchase unto God with Your blood every tribe, and so forth. He died for us. Jesus, the Lamb of God, will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. In the book of Revelation, He's described as the seven spirits. Not to be thought of as a numerical seven or seven distinct spirits, but a complete seven in the book of Revelation, meaning complete, the complete Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we find there grace to you and peace from Him who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before the throne. That, I believe that's the Holy Spirit. And He's there, and He's with the Lamb who's beside the throne. The Holy Spirit is beside the throne. He who revealed to us the Bible that we hold in our hands, that perfect revelation. The Spirit of God, revealing the mind of the Spirit, God's Spirit. He is there. Holy angels are there. There are passages, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, Matthew 22, 20, Luke 15 and 7, the angels in heaven rejoicing over one sinner who repents. They're all going to be there. All the Old Testament righteous. You think about Abraham, and you think about those who are mentioned as righteous individuals. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. Jesus talks about how that if we enter into the kingdom of heaven, we can be there with Abraham and those Old Testament righteous. If we're not, then we're going to be cast out. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. You will come and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They're going to be there. You think about those Old Testament worthies and those Old Testament righteous individuals. You turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and you find that there are men by faith who are going to be there, men and women who obeyed God and who made it through difficult trials. And we find that by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. And by faith, Enoch walked with God. And by faith, Noah built the ark. And by faith, Abraham left when he was called and he obeyed. And so these individuals are going to be there. Who will be there? God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the holy angels and the Old Testament righteous and those that are in the New Testament, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, when the apostles came back from preaching the gospel, Jesus said, you need to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Our name is recorded in the Book of Life when we obey the gospel. And all the New Testament righteous individuals, you think about the Apostle Paul who said, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me. The Apostle Paul is there. All of those in the New Testament who lived and who acted properly and who were faithful to the Lord and whose names are written in heaven. All who truly love the Lord today. Can you think of anybody around you this morning or anybody that has been in your life that has lived faithfully who will be there in heaven as well? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Heaven is not just for Paul. When he talked about the crown of righteousness, he said, and not to me only, but also to all of them that have loved His appearing. Do you know of any brethren, maybe family members? Do you have an aunt or an uncle who are living right? Do you have family members who have loved His appearing? That means you've loved Jesus, that you're obeying Him now. That's what that means. When Jesus came, His appearing, and you love that, you believe His word, you obey it, you put it into practice in your life, you're going to heaven. Do you know of anybody like that? Outside the Bible? Sure, I do. I'm sure you do. They're going to be there. And we can be there with them. Do we know of those who truly love the Lord in their lifetime? Sure. All the little innocent children. All who were committed and went through difficult times. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 10. Do you know that there are brethren who even go to their death? They go to their death serving the Lord. They go to their death committed. And so John talks about those who are faithful unto death. I will give unto thee the crown of life. In chapter 6 and verse 9, there were those who were beheaded for Christ. Behold, I will make them come. Chapter 6 and verse 9, they are crying out, how long, and they are souls underneath the altar that have been slain for the word of God. There have been Christians and brethren of all time who have been committed even to the point of death. Look at chapter 7 and verse 14. These, speaking of the faithful Christians, are they who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They've been baptized into Christ. The blood has washed their sins away, but they came out of the great tribulation. We may have to in our future, maybe in this country, as things get worse and worse in our own country, we may have more serious tribulations to go through in being faithful. And when we do that, we'll go to heaven. Look at chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Don't you want to be with this great group of people? When you think about who is around us today and all of the negativity and all the sin that we have to be surrounded by today, we want to be in heaven where these great and glorious individuals are. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints, that is, their endurance. They that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That means you die faithfully. That doesn't mean you die having some knowledge of the Lord, but to die in the Lord means to die faithfully in a right relationship with Him. And if you're not in that relationship, you need to make that change. But look at it. They will rest from their labors. They've worked hard to be committed to the Lord, and they're going to be rewarded for that. We want to go to heaven because of who will be there. Number two, we want to go to heaven because of why we will be there. We will be there for two basic reasons: to praise and serve God for all eternity, and to be rewarded for our faithful living. You know, it's hard work being a Christian. It's hard being faithful. It's difficult and challenging sometimes. It's a blessing and it's a joy. And it's got great, and we have a smile on our face. Rejoice in the Lord. But there are daily challenges, and we'll be rewarded for that. Let's look at the matter of praising God first. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. What are we going to be doing there? Some people picture heaven as a paradise, and it's almost like a glorified vacation. They so miss the biblical information on heaven. It's a place where we can be around the throne of God and worship Him. Look at Revelation 14 and verse 1. I saw the 144,000. That is a number that means all of the multitude of the saved in heaven. It's to mean 12 times 12 and multiplied. It's a perfect number of all the faithful in heaven. All these that we talked about in the previous point. All the faithful Old Testament righteous, the New Testament righteous, those that are righteous today, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all of those. This is the faithful in heaven. And these 144 are talking about those who have served God, not God and Jesus Himself, but those who obey Him. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. What are they doing? They are singing, verse 3, a new song before the four living creatures and the elders. They fall down. They're singing praise to God. Look at chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Why are we there? We're there to praise God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass. and then to come off victorious from the beast. Look at that. Underscore that in your Bible. That's the previous point. They come victorious. The beast here is representative of Satan. They're going to beat Satan. They're going to be victorious over him. They're not going to let Satan defeat them. They're going to defeat Satan. And when they become victorious over him, what are they doing? They're standing before the throne, having the harps of God, singing the song of Moses. We're there to worship God. It's not there to have sit back in a lawn chair and have some vacation ride on a cruise ship or something like that. We're there to worship the Almighty God of the universe. Look at chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no curse anymore, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be therein, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads, meaning that they're in a right relationship with God, and there shall be no more night, neither need of lamp, nor light of sun, for the God shall give them their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 3, what are they doing? They're serving God, they're worshiping God. We'll also be there to be rewarded for the righteous living. You know, people take the easy path. I'm going to take the sinful path. I'm going to take the life of ease, the life of sin, the life of living any way I want. But those who work hard and are committed and come to services and worship God and live faithfully during their lives during the week and raise their families right and live properly at work and at school and in our government and all the relationships that we have in life, we're going to be rewarded for that. There won't be any heavenly reward for those who take the easy path and the life of sin and get up each day and just sort of rock along and do whatever they want. That's the easy life. You don't have to guard your words, and you don't have to guard your thoughts, and you don't have to guard your dress or your actions. You just get up and live any way you want. Boy, that's the easy life. But when you try to live by God's Word, you wonder, is there any payoff? Is there any reward? Yes, and we've got to keep our eyes focused on heaven. Let's look at a few passages all over. The New Testament speaks about the heavenly reward, but just turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Peter calls it an inheritance undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Let's look at what John says in the book of Revelation. Every letter to the seven churches of Asia, starting in chapter 2 and verse 7, every letter, without exception, closes with the thought, to him that overcometh, I will give. To him that overcometh, I will give. And then the different rewards that are mentioned there. Heaven is a reward. Look at chapter 7 with me, beginning in verse 13. Chapter 7 and verse 13. We read verse 14 earlier. These are they that came out of the great tribulation, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's through baptism and faithful living. Look at verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God. God's at the center of this picture. We're serving Him. We want to go to heaven because of who will be there. God and all of these other holy individuals. We want to go to heaven because of why we will be there. That throne, where God is on that throne, will be in the center of our life, the center of our existence. It will be before us. And they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sitteth on the throne, shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them unto fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. We'll come back to that later. But look at the reward there. We've got to keep that focused. And as we read earlier in chapter 14 and verse 13, they will rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. It's going to be a rest. Listen, the labor sometimes is hard. The labor is sometimes difficult in being here to worship God and in teaching God's Word accurately and living it out in our lives. There's a labor in standing for truth and converting the lost and repenting of sin, and the list goes on and on. These are difficult and challenging things sometimes. But look at the rest that comes. You think about the rest at the end of your work day. You think about the rest at the end of your work week, and how rewarding that is, and how we cherish that, and how we look forward to that. just a moment maybe to sit down in our chair in our living room and take some rest. We look forward to that. Even in a greater way, that rest in heaven for the reward for overcoming those things that the devil throws at us each day that we live. Why we will be there is the incentive for going. And then last of all, what will be there? It is a place of paradise and beauty. And when we read the description of heaven in the Word of God, not what people think and say about it and give their opinions about in the world, but the accurate picture in God's Word, we begin to see a place that we want to be there. It is a place of beauty and paradise. Turn with me to chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. In verse 10, it's described as the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. In chapter 22 and verse 14, it's described as the tree of life, the paradise, the tree of life. In chapter 22 and verse 1, it's described, just like in the Garden of Eden, as the place where there's the tree of life. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, they will rest from their labors. It's a place of rest. And the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and verse 11 that there remaineth a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It's a place of joy and comfort. There is no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, nor death, or dying there. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 in our scripture reading. Every tear will be wiped away. No, there will be no death no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away. Look at verse 4 and take each word and ask yourself, what is it in my life that brings those things? It will all be gone. Do you have anything in your life that brings you tears? You ever cried lately? Have you mourned lately? Have you had any pain lately? They'll all be gone. What an incentive for us to keep moving forward. There are those here this morning that struggle with physical pains and illnesses. There are those here this morning that struggle with emotional pains and sorrows and sicknesses. We all have those. The devil throws those on us. Sin in the world throws those on us. There are a number of reasons for those things. But those things we have to work through and carry through and be faithful through, and one day it'll all be gone. It'll all be gone. Those things that cause those things will all be gone. And what a beautiful thing, and what a place that we want to strive to be in. It'll be a place of righteousness. Look with me at chapter 21 and verse... back up to chapter 20 and verse 11. Are you tired of the sin around you? Are you tired of that? Are you tired of every time you turn on the TV, there's some sinful thing there? Every time you turn on the radio, there's some sinful thing there? Sin all over our society. Are you tired of that? Are you tired of being surrounded by that? You go to the store, it's there. You just step outside of your home, it's there. It's piped inside your home. Are you tired of that? There's going to come a day where you don't have to be around any of that. In Revelation chapter 20... talking about the judgment day. Everybody's going to be gathered there and judged according to his works. Look at verse 14. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15. If any was not found written in the book of life, that is, he's not obeyed the gospel, he was cast into the lake of fire. You don't have to be around all those people who don't want to obey the gospel. Look at chapter 21 and verse 8. The unbelieving, the abominable, the fearful, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire. None of that's going to be around you. What an incentive. What an incentive. It's a place of complete righteousness. Nothing unclean will be there. Look at chapter 21 and verse 27. There shall in no wise enter in anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's why it's important to be in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning, if you're not. Look at chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are those who have washed their robes. They have a right to come to the tree of life. But look at verse 15. Without, outside of heaven, people that don't get into heaven, are the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. That's the third time in these two chapters where John talks about those who are lying. And so we have to be right with God, and we're going to go to a place where there is only that which is righteousness. No uncleanness will be there. And then last of all, it's a place of eternal reward where we serve God forever and ever. Chapter 22, verse 5, and they shall reign forever and ever. And we have an opportunity to enter into the city, verse 14, and be there forever and ever. And so, what will be there is an incentive for us. As we close this morning, I want us to think about why I want to go to heaven. Well, first of all, do you know what the alternative is? What's the alternative? There's only one alternative, and it's hell. I want to go to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. And you want to go to heaven because you don't want to go to hell. Jesus said that there's just two ways. The narrow way, that's the way of commitment and dedication. And yes, we have to work at it. And yes, we're going to have to straighten up our life. And yes, we're going to have to make some corrections. But at the end of the road, there's this beautiful reward. It's the broad way that leads to destruction. And many are they that are traveling there. And Jesus said, are you one of those? Am I one of those? If we're one of those traveling that broad way, we need to make some changes. I want to go to heaven because the only alternative is hell. And this is not a lesson this morning on hell, but we could certainly talk about the weeping and gnashing of teeth, the unquenchable fire, where the worm dieth not, the devil and his angels, and all of those terrible things. I just don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven because God wants me to go. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why you need to go to heaven this morning? Because God wants you to go. And He sent His Son to die on the cross so that you can go there. Remember Genesis 1 and 2. God put man into paradise. That's where He wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be in hell. We lose sight of that sometimes. What was the first place God put man? The very place where He wants man. And that's in a beautiful paradise. Now, He has created hell, and He's prepared it for the devil and his angels. And everybody who's not living right is going to go there. That's true. But we need to remember the original place where God wants us to be is with Him. And let's not lose sight of that. He wants us to be in paradise with Him. And then last of all, you know what? You should want to go to heaven this morning because the loved ones sitting beside you want you to go. Your parents want you to go. Your spouse wants you to go. Your children want you to go. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. We are invited to come to heaven, to come to Jesus, and to come to heaven through the words of the Spirit. But let me tell you something. There's another invitation. There's another person saying, come, and it's the bride. That's the church. There are loved ones in the church that are saying to you, please come. That's why I want to obey the gospel this morning, or if I'm already a Christian, that's why I want to live faithfully, because the only alternative is hell. God wants me to go there, and He showed it by sending His Son to die on the cross, and there are loved ones sitting right next to you that want you to go. And there are loved ones who are not sitting here who want you to go. There are loved ones maybe in other places that are praying for you, and thinking about you, and praying to God that they will obey the gospel, praying to God that they will repent and just step forward and be baptized into Christ. We do it because God wants me to go. We do it because the Spirit is inviting me. We do it because loved ones who are serving the Lord want me to go as well. Many won't go there. Jesus said, there are many who are religious, saying, Lord, Lord, and they're not going to be there. It's only those who do the will of the Father. And can we rejoice this morning that our name is written in heaven? If we can't make that rejoicing remark, then we need to change that this morning. You know, what makes you happy? Well, I'm happy because of something I got at home. I'm happy because of a toy that I have or a game that I have. I'm happy because of this. I'm happy because of money. I'm happy. No, Jesus said, you need to rejoice because your name's written in heaven. All that other doesn't even matter. That I'm a faithful Christian this morning, that's what matters. And this morning, I want us to think about heaven and why I want to go there. Why do you want to go? Why do I want to go? And let's keep focused on that as we live our life. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of encouragement. We encourage you to step forward and respond to the gospel if you need to. Those of you who have done that in the past, I want to encourage you to keep living faithfully through whatever trials and tribulations you might have to go through, because heaven is worth it all. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and what a great reward that'll be. You just keep living faithfully through the things that you have to go through. But if you're not, and you need to make some changes, we're here to help you. Step forward. Let your needs be made known. Let's talk about what we can do to change. If you need to study some more, if you need to study God's Word, if we need to sit down and talk about what's going on in your life, if we need to sit down and talk about what's going on in the Scriptures and the things that we need to understand to be made right, let's set up a time to do that, because heaven is prepared and ready for us, but we have to be prepared and ready to go. And if we can assist you in that preparation, why would you come as we stand and sing?
The number 21.